Can't you just sense God? Amen. I can sense the Spirit of God. I sure am thankful for that. I'm going to preach a message to you tonight. Pastor called me this afternoon and figured that I would be prepared to preach to the teens, and I was. But I told him, I said, I don't think I'm going to preach to the church what I was going to preach to the teens, because we're going through the Ten Commandments. And I was preaching on the fourth commandment tonight on remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy. And for those of you that are Bible students, one of my points in my message tonight was it's confusing. If you know much about the Sabbath, it's a confusing subject, and I wasn't going to try to tackle that in here tonight. And so I began to pray after I talked to Pastor and try to seek God's will for what he would have me to preach tonight. And I really believe, after sitting through the prayer time and the beginning part of the service, that God was in this, Pastor. I believe it. I really do. And I thank God for it. God's a good God. You know that? I wanted to preach on the prodigal tonight. As soon as Pastor called me, I thought about preaching on the prodigal. And I'm going to share this because it's on my heart, but then I'm going to preach what God wants me to preach. But I was talking to a friend of mine today that's gotten far from the Lord. I don't know if he's even saved, but if he is saved, he's not right with God. And I was just exhorting him not to stay where he's at. I told him, I said, man, you got to, at some point, you got to get on with your life. You got to get up out of the pig pen, and you got to go back to the Father's house and make things right. And I said, it's not going to be easy. I don't think it was easy for that prodigal to get up out of that pig pen and admit to himself where he had gotten and make that long journey back to the Father's house. But I'm going to tell you right now, it was worth it when he got there. Amen. And I got to thinking about that. And when he walked out of the room we were in, I was talking to him, and there was another guy in the room. And when he walked out, I told the other guy, we started talking about it. And as we were talking about it, I don't know, God just really stirred in my heart. Man, I told my coworker, Roger, Roger, we got a good God, don't we? He said, you better believe we do, brother. Because there's a lot of people, when you get up out the pig pen, they don't want nothing to do with you. I sure am glad there's a Father. He's waiting. He's welcoming. He's watching. Come on home, son. Come on home. And I sure am glad that we got a Father like that. Thank God that we got a Father that, well, you can't never get too far. Can't never get too low. You can't do too much that the Father won't hug you and welcome you and put the robe on you and throw a party for you, amen. We got a good God. I'm just here to remind you tonight that our God's a good God. And I just want to magnify him tonight. But we're in Mark chapter number 5. We're going to talk about a different father. We'll talk about the same father. We're going to talk about another father. This father's name was Jairus. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 22, it says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. You know, that's a good place to fall. Amen. God help us to fall at the feet of Jesus. That's what we need. That's what we need tonight. We need to get to the feet of Jesus. And Jairus got to the feet of Jesus. And it says he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, how to impact a life. How to impact a life. You know, Jairus had a major impact on his daughter's life. And as I was listening to some of the requests tonight, I was thinking about the message that I believe God wants me to preach and the message that God laid on my heart. And I was thinking about how there's some folks here tonight that I believe with all of their heart, they want to impact somebody's life. And I know as I stand before you tonight, that's my desire. I want to have an impact on people's lives. And so I want to give you a three-step formula, I believe, really a couple steps, and then we'll talk about the impact that he had on her life. And I want to look at this father and the impact that he had on his daughter's life, but I don't want to just look at it from the angle of a father to a daughter. It could be a friend to a friend, a co-worker to a co-worker, a sibling to another sibling, a family member to a family member. I want us to think about not as this father impacting his daughter, but us as people impacting other people's lives. And so we see here that Jairus had a major impact on his daughter's life. And I want to look at a couple things that he did that caused him to do that. Number one, I want to see this about Jairus, the fact that he sought the Lord. Look at verse number 22. The Bible says, I read it to you, it says, he besought him greatly. You see, Jairus went to the right source. And can I tell you tonight what I heard some people doing in this auditorium when they were asking requests was they were doing what Jairus was doing, and that is they were seeking the Lord. And that's what we need to do. If we want to impact people's lives, and I believe I'm speaking to a group of people tonight that's out on a Wednesday night in the house of God, faithful, as our pastor has already said, no doubt you want to impact someone's life. And if you want to impact someone's life, if I want to impact someone's life, we have got to seek the Lord, because the Lord is really the only one that can impact their lives. And so Jairus sought the Lord. The Bible says that he fell at Jesus' feet in verse number 22. It says that Jairus by name, when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He sought the Lord. And Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 says he worshiped him. You know, he sought the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. If we're going to have an impact, we must worship the Lord. That's what we need to do. We need to seek and worship the Lord if we're going to impact people's lives. I want to give you three thoughts about Jairus seeking the Lord. Number one, the first thing I see about Jairus seeking the Lord is that it was personal. Verse number 22 says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. You see, the Bible wants us to know that Jairus sought the Lord personally. Can I tell you, that's what we need to do if we want to impact people's lives? We need to personally seek the Lord. You know, we're real good at asking other people to seek the Lord. And I didn't say you're real good. I said we're real good. If I'm not careful, I tell our teenagers this a lot of times on Wednesday nights when we're taking prayer requests. And I don't say it in a mean way, but sometimes I'm afraid in prayer requests. And you know, tonight I sensed a genuineness in the prayer request that was mentioned. And I thank God for that. But I've been in some prayer meetings, and I've been in some prayer services where it's almost as if people just started asking prayer requests so they would have something to say. And I'll tell our teenagers sometimes, I'll say, hey, if you're going to make a request tonight, please don't ask me to pray for something that you're not praying for. And that sounds mean. And maybe it is. I don't know. I'm like, if you're going to ask me and if you're going to ask us to pray for a situation, I want it to be something that you're praying for. So I say, if you're going to ask requests tonight, let it be something that you're praying for. And, you know, we're real good sometimes at asking other people to pray. Will you pray for this situation or will you pray for this person? But the question is, are we praying for them? Jairus went to the Lord personally. He went himself. Jesus, he wanted to get to Jesus. It says Jairus by name. The Bible wants us to know that Jairus personally went to Jesus and he fell at his feet and he besought him greatly. And he said, my little daughter layeth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed. You see, Jairus went to Jesus with his request personally. Jairus was praying to the Lord. And so I just want to remind us tonight, if we're going to impact people's lives, we are going to have to do it personally. We can't expect someone else to do it. We've got to do it. If I want to impact my children's lives, I've got to pray for my children. If I want to impact my coworker's life, I've got to pray for my coworker. If I want to impact my family member's life, I've got to pray for my family members. And thank God that other people will pray, but I need to pray. And so you want to impact somebody's life, number one, you need to seek the Lord, and you need to do it personally. You need to do it. And there's nothing wrong with getting other people to do it. Thank God that there's other people that will do it, but we need to do it ourselves. So number one, it was personal. Number two, and this goes along with what we've done here tonight, not only was it personal, but it was public. Look at verse number 22. It says, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. I skipped what I wanted to look at. Verse 21 says, when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. So when Jairus come to Jesus, this wasn't like Nicodemus at night. No, this was in public. This was in the midst of a bunch of people. Actually, the Bible says later on, if you read that there's so many people there, I believe it is in verse number, what verse is it? The Bible says verse 31, it says, "And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee." The multitude thronging thee. We got to get the picture tonight. This is a public setting. Jesus has got a group of people following him, and there's all kinds of people gathered to see Jesus, the one that's doing miracles, the ones that's healing the lame, the one that is doing all these things that people are talking about. All of them are gathered together, and they're all thronging Jesus, and it's almost like it's just I'm picturing in my mind a busy street, a chaotic scene, and the Lord Jesus in the midst of all those people, and here comes Jairus, and in public he falls down and he beseeches the Lord. You know, if we're going to impact people's lives, not only do we have to seek the Lord personally, but we ought to seek the Lord publicly. Amen. We ought not be ashamed of the Lord. I mean, it took Jairus, it took some humility. He was a ruler of the synagogue. You got to understand who this man was. This man was not supposed to really be a follower of Jesus. He was of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was in the synagogue. He was of the upper class in Jerusalem. But yet here he is, because he wants to impact his daughter's life. He's willing to publicly go before Jesus in front of all these people and say, "Lord, will you help my daughter?" And I heard that tonight. You heard it. I'm thinking about Brother Robert stood up publicly and said, "Pray for my daughter." Sister Alger, publicly, "Pray for my son." And others, publicly, "Pray for my marriage. Pray for my friend. Pray for this situation." And not ashamed to publicly say, "I need the Lord." Sometimes if we're not careful, I've been guilty of it myself. My pride won't allow me to ask for prayer. You've probably been guilty of it. Wanted to ask prayer, but in your pride, thought it might make you look weak. You are. We are. That's okay, because he's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. And when we're weak, he's strong. And so there's nothing wrong with humbling ourselves and publicly saying, "I need the Lord." And that's what Jairus did. He publicly went to the Lord in humility and said, "Please, Lord, would you help my daughter?" So number one, we see it was personal. Number two, we see it was public. Number three, we see it was passionate. You can hear the passion in this man's voice. In verse 22, the Bible says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet," and look at it, "besought him," the Bible says, "greatly, saying, My little daughter," that is a term of endearment. I looked up that word "little daughter." It's a term of endearment. He's saying, "My precious little girl, my baby, my daughter, my whatever you call your child, my loved one, lieth at the point of death." He said, "Lord, please, I need your help." He besought the Lord greatly. He fell at his feet. He said, "I pray thee, Lord." You can hear the passion in this man's voice. I wonder, when was the last time we passionately prayed for someone that we love? When was the last time we passionately prayed for the Lord to impact a situation? Where we realized, "Lord, I can't do this. This is bigger than me. And God, I need you to get involved in my situation. God, I need you to get involved in my daughter's situation. God, I need you to get involved in my friend's situation. God, I need you to get involved in my loved one's situation. God, I need you to get involved." When was the last time that you prayed with that type of passion? If I'm honest with you tonight, I don't do it near enough. If I'm honest with you, I don't go to the Lord with that type of passion very often. But God help us, if we want to impact people's lives, we've got to have some passion. We've got to care. We've got to get to the Lord. And so we see he sought the Lord. And so number one, he sought the Lord. Number two, he stayed loyal. I want you to see this. This may be my favorite point. Not only did he seek the Lord, but he stayed loyal. Look at verse number 24. You know the story. I don't even feel like I need to preach it. I'm sitting here looking at my Bible and I'm like, just preach. The people know this story. Most of you here on a Wednesday night, you've heard this story before. You know what's going on here. Jairus comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to heal his daughter. And the Bible says that Jesus went with Jairus. And so Jesus, it appears that Jesus is going to answer Jairus' request and go with him to lay hands on his daughter. And yet on the way to see his daughter, the Bible says in verse number 24 that a woman came and fell down. Look at it, verse 24. Jesus went with him. Much people followed. And thronged him, and a certain woman in verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse when she heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. So you know the situation. Jesus is on his way with Jairus to his house to heal his daughter. And this woman comes with an issue of blood and Jesus stops and begins to deal with this woman. And the first thing I see about the fact that Jairus stayed loyal was he stayed loyal in the midst of delay. Jesus didn't do what Jairus thought he was going to do when he thought he was going to do it, but Jairus didn't quit. And can I tell you tonight, there may be somebody sitting here tonight and you have been praying and you have been passionately and personally and even publicly been praying about a situation. You've come in on Wednesday night after Wednesday night after Wednesday night and you've made a request and it's been on the prayer list and you've been asking for God to intervene in this situation and you feel like he's never going to answer. Don't quit. Stay persistent because this Jairus didn't quit even in the midst of delay. You see, his timing is always the right timing. Jesus doesn't always work on our schedule. I was teaching Sunday morning in Sunday school to our teenagers to consider his timing, how that Jesus, when Mary and Martha sent for Jesus because Lazarus had died, the Bible says that Jesus waited 2 days before he left. And then I believe it took a 2-day journey to get where they were because the Bible says that when Jesus got to Lazarus, she said, he's been dead for 4 days, Lord. He stinketh. And no doubt they thought, where is Jesus at? Why the delay? But Jesus said, hey, there's a reason for the delay. He said, because I want to glorify God. Jesus' timing is always right. And I don't know what you're praying about tonight. I don't know what's heavy on your heart tonight. I don't know what you've been praying about for a long time, but I'm just here to encourage you tonight. Don't quit. Don't stop. Even when it feels like there's a delay, even when it feels like the Lord is not answering, don't stop. Jairus stayed loyal in the face of delay. Not only did Jairus stay loyal in the face of delay, but Jairus stayed loyal in the face of discouragement. Look at verse number 35. The Bible says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? You ever been that one? Have you ever been that one? You say, which one are you talking about, Brother David? Look at it again. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain. Well, it doesn't say one, certain. It could have been numerous. And said, thy daughter is dead. Have you ever been one of them? I have. You say, what do you mean one of them, Brother David? You know, there's no hope. That situation is too far gone. That person, they'll never get right. Have you ever been one of them? I don't want to be one of them. Jairus didn't quit in the face of delay, but Jairus did not quit in the face of discouragement. You know, when we're looking to impact people's lives, there's going to be those that are going to try to discourage us. And honestly, it's not really those that try to discourage us. It's that one that tries to discourage us, and it's our enemy. He wants to discourage us. He wants us to think that there's no hope, that it's not worth praying about, it's not worth trying, it's not worth the effort, and he wants us to quit praying, he wants us to quit seeking the Lord. But we need to stay loyal. Jairus stayed loyal in the face of discouragement. When people said, "Hey Jairus, it's too late. The master, quit troubling the master." Jesus looked at Jairus and said, "Hey, only believe. Don't quit." Right? And I'm here to remind you tonight, listen to me, I know it's Wednesday night, I understand, you're tired, you've worked this week, but I'm just trying to tell you tonight, there's somebody in here that you've been praying about a situation for a long time, or you've been praying for a loved one that's lost for a long time, or you've been trying to get this person that's backslid for a long time, and you feel like it's never going to happen, there's this long delay, and maybe there's even discouragement, and people saying, "Oh, there's no hope for that person, they'll never get saved, they'll never get right, that situation is hopeless." I'm here to remind you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, as long as Jesus is around, it's not hopeless, okay? It's not a situation that can't be handled, and so just stay loyal. Don't quit. Don't quit. Think about if Jairus would have turned and walked away. When they come and said, "Hey, there's no hope, quit troubling the master. Your daughter's dead." What if Jairus would have walked away? He wouldn't have impacted his daughter's life. But he did, because he stayed loyal in the face of delay, in the face of discouragement. He stayed loyal in the face of derision. Look at verse number 40. The Bible says in verse number 40, well, verse 39 says, "And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And verse 40 says, "And they laughed him to scorn." You know, there's going to be people there's people literally that the thought that we're gathered here tonight making prayer requests and raising our hands and opening up our hearts in a group of people, there is some people outside the walls of this church that don't understand that. They not only don't understand that, they would laugh at that. But don't stop. Don't stop. When they say it can't be done, and when they say that it's there's no hope, and when they laugh at our religion, and they laugh at our prayer meeting, and they laugh at our belief, let's not stop. Stay loyal. Don't quit. Your daughter's life might be dependent on it. So we see number one, that he sought the Lord. Number two, we see that he stayed loyal. And then number three, I want to see this, that he shifted her life. You could say saved her life. But I want to say he shifted her life. This young lady's life was changed forever. Now, when I say he, I want you to understand, I know that Jairus didn't do it. Jesus did. But I bet you Jairus sure is glad that he got involved in it. He shifted her life. He got involved. He invited Jesus, right? Jesus is wanting us to get involved in other people's lives. Jesus is wanting us to invite him into other people's lives. And so you see this man, he shifted, he shaped the course of his daughter's life forever. Verse number 40 says there was a miracle. Look at it. Verse 40 says, "And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And verse 42 says, "And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment." So the first thing I want us to see about him shaping or shifting her life is the miracle. The miracle. As I listen to some prayer requests tonight, you know what some people need here tonight? A miracle. And can I tell you, I sure am glad to report to you that we have a God that still works miracles. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you that God can't fix that situation, that God can't save that lost loved one,
That God can't put back that marriage together. That God can't heal that sick loved one. That God can't bring back that backslidden child. That God can't do these things because God can. The devil wants us to think that God can't. But I'm here to report to you tonight something that you already know. And I'm just trying to remind you, God can. God can. And so we see that he shifted, he shaped her life. There was a miracle. Not only was there a miracle, but there was a marvel. Look at verse number 42. The Bible says in verse 42, and straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. I mean, not only were they were astonished with great astonishment. Wow. That's what they said. Wow. The master. Look at what Jesus has done. And can I tell you, if we will stay loyal, if we'll seek the Lord and if we'll stay loyal, there are going to be times where we're going to say, wow. We're going to marvel. We're going to be astonished at what the Lord does. He's able. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Do you believe that tonight? I hope I believe it. I can't tell you the times I pray, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Because sometimes if I'm honest with you, I don't believe like I should. But I sure am glad that the Bible says if we just have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that God said I can move mountains. If we just believe, Pastor preached it Sunday morning, strong in faith, giving glory to God. If we just believe and if we'd go to God and we seek the Lord and we stay loyal, can I tell you, we'll see God shape and shift and save people's lives. Amen. We'll see miracles. There'll be marvel. Then last, there'll be ministry. Look at verse number 43. It says, he charged them straightly that no man should know it and commanded that something should be given her to eat. You know, I looked at that verse and looked at that verse and I honestly can't tell you. I read what different people say about that verse, and I'm not 100% sure what all that verse is saying, but I know the Holy Ghost put it there and wants it to be there. And one thing that I get from it is Jesus said, all right, I've done a miracle, and these people are marveling at the miracle that I've done. Now minister. Now minister. Feed that young lady. I did what you can't do. Now you do what you can do. This young lady has been sick. This young lady has faced death. And now this young lady has been raised from the dead. I have worked a miracle. Now you do what you can do. You know, when God saves, I believe it's a picture of God saving a soul. And when God saves a person, when God raises a dead person and breathes new life into them, God does that miracle. We don't do that. Jairus didn't do that. Jesus did that. But now Jesus said, hey, Jairus, here's something you can do. Feed that young lady. Minister to that young lady. Get to work in that young lady's life, Jairus. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to seek him and to impact people's lives. He wants us to stay loyal when it looks like he's not working and when it looks like it's never going to happen. He wants us to stay loyal. And then when he saves a life, when he shifts a life, he wants us to get involved in ministering to those people. And then people will just marvel and say, wow, look at our God. I got to say this, and I hope Pastor Brandon don't mind me saying this. I wanted to get with you before the service, Pastor Brandon, but I didn't. So if I say something that I shouldn't, forgive me. He's like, oh, goodness, what is he going to say? We talk a lot. He's probably thinking this could be anything. I want to say this, and he may say something more about it. But as I look around this room and as I heard some of the requests tonight, you know, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the way we think he's going to. And Pastor Brandon may say a little bit more about this. I don't know. Him and I have been talking, and it just really spoke to my heart when you, what you was telling me. There's situations in here tonight that if God doesn't do a miracle, it may look like to the natural eye, that God failed you, or that God failed us, or that God failed that situation. But can I tell you, his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we don't always see the fruit the way we think we're going to see it. I'm gonna leave it alone, Pastor. I'm going to leave it for you, brother. He said, go ahead. You know, Pastor, Brother Brandon and I were talking, and Pastor's been so faithful and loyal to his brother, trying to impact his life for years. Years and years, Pastor's tried to impact his brother's life. And I believe it had an impact on his brother's life. I believe that. But I can tell you this. Brother Brandon is fruit from that faithful, seeking, staying loyal, and a life was completely shifted. Does that make sense to you? I don't know what God's going to do in Jake's situation. I really don't. My heart goes, goodness gracious, Sister Julie, I can't tell you the times I thought about Jake when I look on Facebook and I see some of that stuff. Me and Jake's about the same age. I don't know what God's going to do in Jake's life. And if we're not careful, we look at a situation like Jake's. If God doesn't do a miracle in Jake's life, you'll look at a situation like Jake's and you might say, God didn't come through in that situation. Hey, can I tell you, the story hadn't been written yet. Amen. The final chapter, the book isn't done. And sometimes we look at situations and we think God's not working and God doesn't care and where is God at? And sometimes it's not always the way we think it's going to be. In this situation, it was. God came and he got involved in Jairus' daughter's life and he saved this young lady and he shifted her life. He impacted her life forever. But it doesn't always happen the way we think it's going to happen. But I believe this with all of my heart. If we'll just keep seeking the Lord and if we'll just keep staying loyal to the Lord and we'll just keep staying faithful to the Lord, can I tell you, he's going to come through one way or the other. He is going to work. Why? Because he said he would. He said he would. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God's going to work in your situation. I don't know what your situation is tonight, but I can tell you this. God, if you'll stay loyal, and if you'll seek the Lord, you'll pray and you'll worship and you'll fall at Jesus' feet, he is going to work in your situation. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. And God, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that somehow, some way, Lord, you would take the words that were given tonight. God, I pray that you would just minister to hearts, God. I pray, Father, that you would just speak, Lord, through the service tonight. God, I feel like I failed you, Lord. But God, I know that it's not anything that I can do, Lord. I stand before you tonight in full understanding that I have absolutely nothing to help these people but what your word says. God, in me dwelleth no good thing. God, I pray, Lord, that you would do what only you can do in individuals' hearts and lives tonight. God, I pray if there's someone that's ready to give up, Lord, I pray tonight by the Holy Spirit of God that you would just work in that situation. God, help them not to quit praying, not to quit working, not to quit serving you, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would show yourself strong. God, we pray for miracles, Lord. God, there's many situations that were mentioned tonight during our prayer time that if you don't get involved, God, by the natural eye, there's nothing that can be done. But God, I pray and I ask you tonight, God, that if it be your will, Lord, that you would work miracles in our midst, God. You would do things that would make people marvel. God, that would astonish, Lord, those that are watching. God, please even astonish us with your power, Lord. We need you tonight. God, how we need you to work in our lives and work in our country. God, we need you to work in our church. Lord, please, God, do something that will give you the glory and that Jesus will get lifted up for. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.